We talk with Charles Davis, analyst for NFL on Fox and NFL Network, and he's got another good one with Seattle, Tennessee. Good morning, Charles.
Hey, good morning, guys. And look, you got to pace yourselves. As you said, it's a lot of football. It's a long season. I totally get it, but I think last night was something the league, the NFL really needed, was a game with a lot of offense, because that's been the main criticism that I've heard out of the first couple weeks of the season. No one's scoring. Does it make the product great? A lot of the time, if you have a lot of points scored, no matter what else is happening on the field, it feels like a good game. And that happened last night. And I started getting texts from people. Are you watching this? Hey, I heard this is a great game. It felt like an old school pick up the phone when your phones had cords on them and call people and tell them, you got to watch this. This is really good. So that was good for the league, I thought.
And you're front and center for, I think, now maybe a more important NFC West game than we might have thought in week three. Seattle at Tennessee. We know the Seahawks get much, much better later in the season. Russell Wilson, November, December, January, regular seasons, 24-9 in September and October. He's only 23-15-1. The Seahawks are known for slow starts, finishing strong. But when I watched the Rams' offense last night, I look at it and I go, Seattle, this better be an early blip, because when they start to play, maybe there's some explosivity there with Gurley, with Watkins, with Goff being consistent, that the whole league, let alone the division, wasn't counting on, Charles.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. And I think that what we've seen in the early going from Jared Goff justifies exactly why Sean McVay was hired. He was hired, to me, not just because they thought he'd be the greatest coach in the world and he's going to take them to Super Bowls, but they thought that in the interim, trying to lead up to that, because remember, 31-year-old coach, he's got to grow into that as well, right? But his expertise is quarterbacks, offense, the whole deal. They didn't have that last year when Jared Goff got drafted. If you're going to put pick a guy number one overall in the draft, you've got to do everything possible to get him going and unlock his potential. And that's why Sean McVay got that job. And guess what? Justified. Add on to it, what the general manager Les Snead did was, okay, we hired Sean McVay. We've got the quarterback we're going to work with, but we've got to help that quarterback. So they signed Andrew Whitworth at left tackle. Okay, they brought in Sammy Watkins in during training camp, you know, during the preseason to become their top receiver. They drafted Cooper Kupp to become a great slot receiver, which he is well on his way to being. You've got to surround that kid and give him an opportunity to get better. But with the coaching, surrounding him with better talent, we're seeing more and more why people thought that Jared Goff could be a good young quarterback in the NFL. It's still early, but I do like the early returns.
Charles Davis, our guest. He and Kevin Burkhardt will have Seattle and Tennessee in one of the Fox 4 o'clock games, then over to London for next week's game. We'll get into that in a bit. So is age only a number? I look at McVay. This looks like a brilliant hire. He's 31. John Gruden was 35 when he got his opportunity, and I'm sure there were GMs, Charles, kicking themselves, hiring, you know, I don't want to name names, but hiring a guy who's 58, hiring a guy who's 66, and passing over Gruden. And there may have been guys the last couple of years that passed over McVay. So you weigh that sort of, you know, vitality versus experience thing, right?
Yeah, you do. You really do. And age is only a number, and it does work in both directions. Because we've got Pete Carroll on Sunday. And I know Pete looks like he's 35. All right, somewhere Dorian Gray is looking at Pete Carroll and going, "Really?" But age is only a number for him too, because he still has that vitality. Team still plays for him. All of those things. Well, it is only a number if you get the right person, because we have hired youngsters before, and it hasn't worked out. As you've mentioned, we have hired older guys. Sometimes they're retreads, and that doesn't come close to working out either. It depends on the person and the structure you surround them with. With Pete Carroll, he has John Schneider as his GM. They are locked at the hip, and they see things similarly. And when they disagree, they know how to work it out. And look at how Seattle has rolled. I think Les Snead is finding that with Sean McVay. And it's still early. We got to keep remembering that. But you got to like what you're seeing out of the Rams and how they're playing, because all we ever said before was, in baseball terms, they were good field in terms of defense, really good defense, no hit. Offense couldn't give them anything. Well, the offense is starting to give them something, so the Rams become that much more dangerous, because I don't care how many people you put out there right now, no one's blocking Aaron Donald, are they?
From NFL on Fox and NFL Network, it's our analyst, Charles Davis, talking about the weekend coming up. It certainly looks like the New York Giants are headed to disaster. All right, so you had Ben McAdoo call out his quarterback and Eli Manning. He diffused it yesterday, went, all right, yeah, it's on me, that's good. But you're looking at the New York Giants schedule. In the next 4 weeks, they're going to play at Philadelphia, at Tampa Bay, at Denver. There's a good chance they're going to lose all of those games. Even if they win their game against the Chargers, they'll be one in the rest of the season. That's disaster.
Look, in football, because you only play 16, you can put an increased emphasis on certain games. It's not like baseball with 162, basketball with 82, and you get into a tailspin. Think about the season the Dodgers have had. Right? At one point, it looked like they were never going to lose again. And then another point, it looked like they were never going to win again. Yet, you're not worried about the Dodgers, right? It bounced out over the season. The Giants, of course, can't afford to do that. Well, you just pointed out, their season is on the line starting this Sunday with Philadelphia. Because already at 0-2, it's not like we haven't seen teams 0-2 come back and make the playoffs. The odds are down, but it happens. But still, with that schedule you've mentioned, no one is picking them to win any of those games going into it. This is a major prove-it time for the Giants, but I don't know how things change unless the offensive line all of a sudden becomes appreciably better, and I don't know that you get that much better than what we've seen so far. They're going to have to do a lot of changes or change in strategy and formula to try and leave Eli Manning upright in the pocket, because otherwise it's going to be a long, painful season for him.
Fox's Charles Davis on Brady and Price. Let me ask you about the Raiders. They play in Washington after your game's over on Sunday night. We don't see too many NFL stories where a team's going to leave a market, Charles. And right now maybe it's all the winning, maybe it's all the potential for success, but it doesn't feel like there's any hard feelings or bitterness. And we didn't know. They're off to Vegas. That is a certainty. And they're a 2-0 team. Marshawn Lynch got everybody in the crowd partying. People want to believe in Derek Carr, but you've seen this, right? Cleveland's leaving, not good. Houston goes to Tennessee, not good. The St. Louis back and forth wasn't good at the end of the Rams year 2 years ago. So it's working right now, but is that all based on wins, or the Raider brand is strong enough that the fans are like, yeah, if we're going out, we're going out, we're going to have a good time with this team the next year or two?
No, I love what you just brought up, because winning is the ultimate perfume, as we like to say, you know, in locker rooms, and probably need more perfume in the locker room than anywhere else. Right?
Just a bit, yes.
But in this case, this team had built to this point before the Vegas thing even happened, right? They were building towards being better. The pieces came, you know, were being put in place. Khalil Mack was drafted. Derek Carr was drafted. You know, they went and got Donald Penn and Rodney Hudson to help solidify the offensive line. Right on down the line, all the different things we can talk about, this is going to be a good team. If Vegas never got mentioned, Raider Nation was going to be very excited about their team. Vegas gets mentioned. Now, part of that Raiders Nation, a huge part of it, wanted to just go ahead and say, why don't you guys leave now?
Yeah.
Just go. And then Marshawn Lynch got signed. Native, always wanted to be a Raider, embodies what, you know, traditional Raider thinking is all about. And coupled with them being a good team, I think it's one of the savviest moves an organization could make. My old teammate Reggie McKenzie's the GM there. Mark Davis is the owner of the Raiders. However they put that together, that was really smart, and it coalesced with them being a good team as well. So the Raider Nation is ticked off at this team, but since they've got them and they're winning, we're going to ride it until they go. Now, if they hit a 4- or 5-game losing streak, to your point, they may tell them to go to Vegas right then
That's
and
right.
there.
That's right.
Okay? That's how this thing's going to work, because you're right. Winning will change a lot of things, but if you're losing and you're leaving, they'll leave you first and just not come to the games.
Just a great weekend for the National Football League. So many games that have specific interests in them. The game that you're doing, the quarterback situation at Cincinnati. Certainly Tampa Bay at Minnesota. You got a Minnesota team that much was thought of. They were going with Bradford at quarterback. He's a question mark. And Tampa Bay looking like gangbusters in their first game of the year. If they were to win at Minnesota, that would certainly change the landscape.
It would. It would serve notice, wouldn't it? And wouldn't it also kind of, how would you say it? it would sign off on everyone in preseason with that trendy pick of Tampa in the NFC South, right? Because every year we all try and be smart ones and say, okay, who's going to be the team that comes off the pace we're not picking? Well, Tampa became a very sexy pick. Hard Knocks helped that really get the message out. And you're right. If they go to Minnesota, and if Bradford plays and he's healthy and they beat Minnesota, because that's a good defense Minnesota has, that tells you that Tampa is a mature team and handling things well. Didn't play on opening week because of Hurricane Irma. Came back the second week and really pounded Chicago at home. And now if they go on the road and win that one, that tells me that this is a team that is locked in on the mission and not getting distracted by things that easily, and rightly so, would distract you. Hurricane Irma, you're worried about your family, your friends, your homes, all those things. And somehow they managed to work their way through that. And then to go on the road and win one in the NFL, yeah, that would serve notice that the NFC South is going to be a major battle between them, Carolina, Atlanta, and New Orleans is going to have to jump on things fast. Otherwise, they're going to be in the same spot. They've got a tough one with Carolina this week. They lose that, New Orleans is sitting there at 0-3.
Always great talking with our NFL insider, Charles Davis, on Friday, who has been served notice that he's good because you get the good games. Another good one, Seattle, Tennessee, this week. Enjoy.
Hey, thanks. I certainly will. I'm lucky to be with Kevin Burkhardt and Pam Oliver. That's why we're getting good games. And last thing, hydrate and stretch. A lot of football, okay?
Yeah, for
hydrate and stretch.
Utah, Arizona tonight, Charles. That's a real diehard if they're up at 12:05 Eastern pulling that one in. But, you know how it goes.
I've been wondering how many points they're getting with Arizona, right? I get it.